Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area inhabited by the Haudenosaunee and the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us, seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking. We hope to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet. Sustainable Hamilton Burlington is a nonprofit social enterprise serving the neighboring cities of Hamilton and Burlington in Ontario, Canada. The folks there are dedicated to inspiring sustainability leadership in local business organizations for a healthier environment and thriving, prosperous communities. I spoke with Rafiq Donji, Acting Executive Director, about SHB and the Sustainable Business Conference that his organization was running.
My name is Rafiq Donji. I am the Acting Executive Director with Sustainable Hamilton Burlington. I have a bachelor's degree of commerce, and I specialized in marketing, and a master's degree in environment and sustainability. And when I graduated from my master's program, the first set of jobs to go was in sustainability because the recession was hitting. And ironically, they felt that sustainability at the time was an inessential part of business. I ended up getting involved in something that I was kind of doing as a hobby on the side, which was event planning. And that kind of spiraled into international event planning. So I lived and worked around the world on some of the world's largest events, like the FIFA World Cup, Olympic and Paralympic Games, Commonwealth Games, and Pan Am and Parapan Am Games. And each step along the way, each time I went to one of these events, I kept realizing that there was more and more resources being put into this, and a lot more that was being left behind that wasn't exactly beneficial for the cities. So not only were people being displaced, resources being implemented, infrastructure being built, a lot of this was just being left behind without any thought or care for afterwards. And so I took a step back and decided, hey, let's focus on this and let's try and rectify this problem. And so sustainability just kept coming up and up and up. As luck would have it, or as fate would have it, I ended up doing some consulting work with an organization that was bidding for an Olympic and Paralympic Games, and they asked me to focus on the sustainability of that particular event. And that's kind of how I got introduced to the business side of sustainability, and that's kind of where Sustainable Hamilton Burlington really came out for me. And in between, I was fortunate enough to do a TEDx talk, which you can find on YouTube. For me, what's very interesting right now with sustainability is that businesses are realizing that sustainability is a key part of the foundation of a business and its success and long-term resiliency. And so this entire loop that I've done of where businesses thought it was an inessential part have now realized, hey, we need to have this as a core piece of our operations. And so Sustainable Hamilton Burlington, what's really interesting about it is that we work with local businesses to help them understand their impacts, measure it, help them find ways of reducing it, and then recognize them for those achievements along the way.
What do you use to help them understand what their sustainability factor is?
Great question. So our core program is called the Sustainable Business Initiative, SBI for short. And we have four different streams that we measure. So when people start talking about sustainability, the first thing they kind of think about is the greenhouse gas emissions. And so that's our first stream that we focus on, is measuring that carbon impact, helping them set a baseline to understand what they're doing in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, and then kind of create that target and help them reduce it along the way. The second one that we work on is very similar, but on the waste side. So we help them understand how much is going to landfill, how much is going to compost, and how much is going to recycling. And we don't just try and change that diversion ratio, so taking it from landfill, moving it towards recycling and compost, but we try and shrink that overall footprint. The third one that we work on is helping our members complete and achieve B certification. So the impact assessment by B Lab, which stands for benefit, really helps give you an overall sustainability score. And it's based on global research to understand what a business looks like if they were operating completely sustainably. And so by achieving that certification, we had that international seal of approval for that overall sustainability, which is wonderful. And our fourth stream, which I think is most important, is that storytelling piece. So with greenhouse gas emissions, with waste, and with B-Lab, you're given a score and you're kind of given numbers. The last stream that we focus on is sustainability reporting, which tells the entire story. So where we came from, the good and the bad, where we are right now and what we're working towards. And it shows through data how we've progressed over time. And we use something called the Global Reporting Initiative, the GRI framework, to create those sustainability reports. So we really help our members collect that data, understand what it is that they need to report, and then help them report it in a comprehensive format.
And tell us what's going on today at this conference.
So the Sustainable Business Expo, it started off as a Sustainable Business Expo. And the idea was to bring together businesses around the community, in and outside of the area, and help start the conversation around what sustainability looks like for a business, and help create those connections so that they can start taking action. Last year, we had a couple of education sessions as well to help start the conversation for those who didn't quite understand what sustainability could look like for them. And we realized that the conversation was very, very positive, and so we wanted to expand that. And this year, we decided to change it to the Sustainable Business Conference and Expo. So we have a number of different sessions throughout the day that talk on different aspects of sustainability. And our particular focus this year is the return on investment for sustainability. So understanding what it means to invest in sustainability and what you can get out of it, but then how to communicate that to other people as well. So you may have the interest in sustainability, but the people that are making the decisions don't necessarily have that same sort of passion. This allows you to be able to communicate it in a way that they can understand as well.
A dozen or so exhibitors also attended the Sustainable Hamilton Burlington event to display their unique offerings to the community. I caught up with Rucha Colte, CEO of EcoP, as in pen and pencils, Kevin Deerwester of Pace Chemicals, and Brittany Kelly, Sales and Marketing Manager with ICP Building Solutions Group.
Hi, my name is Rucha Colte and I am the CEO of EcoP Inc. At EcoP, we are basically trying to find alternatives to all the plastic products and replace them with some eco-friendly solution. Our target is to replace all the promotional plastic products that we sell as a giveaway, as a marketing material, and replace them with alternatives. So our first product that's an eco pen. It's a pen made up of recycled paper and additionally has seeds at the end. So once you finish using the pen, you don't need to throw it away. You plant it and it grows into a plant for you. So does not only reducing the waste, but actually achieving a full value recycling.
Okay. Yeah. And the pens are made out of paper?
So yeah, the pens are made up of recycled paper. Mm-hmm. And we also have the second product, that's newspaper pencil. So in that case, we print a lot of newspaper and we do nothing of the newspaper, right? Mm-hmm. It becomes waste. So for the pencils, we roll the newspaper to make it a pencil and also has seeds at the end. So similarly, once you finish using the pencil, it is basically 100% biodegradable pencil.
Okay. Yeah. And what kind of seeds are in there?
So for the pens, we have lucky clover and basil seeds available. And for the pencil, we have spinach and basil.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Kevin Deerwester. I'm with Pace Chemicals. We have a unique product called Endotherm. It's a energy savings additive that goes into closed water loops, and it helps reduce water surface tension by as much as 60%, and therefore it acquires greater thermal contact area inside of these hydronic loops, ultimately driving greater heat transfer efficiency, whether you're going into a space or pulling heat from a space.
Mm-hmm. So give me an application, where would that be used?
A traditional boiler loop would be a primary application. It's where we have established the majority of our evidence. Average savings is 15%. Average return on investment is less than 2 years. Product shelf life is more than 9 years.
Mm. And what area do you cover as far as sales and service?
Primarily Pace is Canada and United States. Mm-hmm. And but the product is installed in more than 20,000 installations worldwide. And our evidence, our performance claim of 15% is corroborated by third party ISO, but as well as almost 350 case studies as well.
Okay, and if people want to find out more.
Yeah, please visit pacechemicals.com and we'd be happy to connect somebody with an attendant distributor or answer any questions.
All right, great.
Thanks.
So, go ahead.
So my name is Brittany Kelly and I'm the Sales and Marketing Manager with Benefect Corporation. Benefect Corporation is the producers of authentically botanical disinfectants and cleaners for predominantly the restoration and remediation industry. We've been in business in town here for over 21 years, became B Corp certified about a year ago. Because our products are completely sustainable, ethically produced and manufactured, B Corp was just a natural fit for our organization. It's at the core of our business is sustainability, so we felt it was just a really good fit for us. And to get some global certification behind us in that respect was really a bonus for our industry.
So. Great. So who came up with the idea? The boss or the employees?
Yeah, so the owner and founder came up with the idea when I was originally coming on board with the company. So he kind of tasked me with those responsibilities of getting certified. And we were recently acquired in March of this year by a U.S.-based company, ICP Business Solutions Group. So they acquired us. And so now we're actually going through the recertification process again. So by March 2020, we'll have that complete.
So the smaller company got the larger company to look at the idea of B Corporation.
Indeed, yeah. And because we are a subsidiary company still and based locally, we're still able to kind of maintain our certification and just have to redo our assessment piece. So
what are the advantages of being a B Corporation?
I think some of the major advantages are the community. There's really a great community with a big wealth of knowledge out there. They're all very like-minded individuals with the same kind of, you know, economic and social goals. So it's a great group to leverage information and you know, just resources in general.
And what's the reaction been from the community, your customers?
So it's been really positive. A lot of some of our contractor groups and stuff that we work with, you know, they've now considered becoming B Corp certified, and it's been a really great educational tool because at first when we first certified, you know, about a year ago, it wasn't. When I would talk to people about it, they wouldn't necessarily, you know about B Corp. So it's a great way to educate people on this certification that's available for, you know, all businesses.
So once again, what is it that your company sells?
So we sell authentically botanical cleaners and disinfectants for the restoration and remediation industry. So we have three authentically botanical disinfectants and a line of cleaner products as well that are all plant-based, food grade.
Are these products available to the average citizen or is it strictly industrial?
So you can purchase as a homeowner or as an average citizen through your local distributor. We do have a distribution model, so all of our distribution happens through third party. So we have a lookup tool on our website, so you just type in your zip or postal code and your city that's closest to you, and you'll get a list of all of the distributors closest to you, and definitely as a homeowner you can order from them.
Let's hear that website.
So our website is www.benefect.com.
I also ran into Bob Willard, author, speaker, and founder of Sustainability Advantage. Willard was one of the keynote speakers. All right. Bob Willard, author of The Sustainability Advantage and The New Sustainability Advantage. The original book that you wrote almost 20 years ago, tell us what's changed since you wrote that book.
Well, there are two things that have changed. The first thing is that the numbers are getting better. So the justification for doing some of the things that you and I would think of as being more environmentally responsible, especially on the energy side, the cost of solar and wind energy has dropped like a stone. So the availability and the attractiveness of those as alternative sources of energy are becoming very, very competitive, even at scale. So a lot of the justifications that I talked about before on saving on waste, saving on energy, saving on water, are becoming a lot more attractive for companies to pay attention to, just for pure business reasons. And the other part of the business case that's getting better is that people seem to care a little bit more about these attributes, either of the product or of the company that's making them. So they are a little more selective. So there's a market, a customer demand for products that seem to have some of these attributes. That's the first part. The second part is that there are additional voices in the chorus that are asking companies to pay more attention to these things. Not just consumers, not just activists, not just non-governmental organizations. Governments have tried to with various degrees of success, but the big voices that are new are the voices of investors, of bankers, of insurance companies, of economists, that are saying, especially on the climate change issue, that companies need to really clean up their act. And if they don't, then it could jeopardize their ability to be able to get the loans that they want or get the investors to put money into their organization that they're looking for. So that has a ripple effect. When the big guys are feeling that heat, it tends to kind of dissipate through their value chains, especially their suppliers. So if you're a little supplier and you're not feeling any of that yet, you may start to feel it as your customers, the bigger guys that are getting in a spotlight on this, start to share the heat with you. So if they're getting hammered for their greenhouse gas emissions and are considered to be mutually accountable for the emissions in their supply chain, that behooves you to pay more attention to those things to be able to stay as a supplier to those organizations. Mm-hmm. Wonderful dynamics, really, really good. That's a long way of saying that the business case, the business justification for doing these things, it just seems to be getting more and more strong.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a couple of times that the business risks are becoming personal. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm trying to contrast it with the business attitude that a lot of the impacts they were having both on the environment and on society were called externalities. They were somebody else's problem. These become their problem when they start to boomerang back onto the business. So I meant it from a personified corporation kind of thing. It's personal to the corporation. The second thing is a little bit more in the background, but I think a very powerful force, is that business leaders have families. Families may have young people. Young people are becoming very energized about some of the issues. And personally, their personal legacy may be a bit in jeopardy if they don't pay more attention to these things in a more appropriate way, that their kids and their family and their friends, the people that they care about, would say that they were doing the appropriate things and using their influence appropriately to address issues that have a really significant threat to their future.
As long as 20 years ago or even further back, different companies would put a community input, sustainable part on their website or their annual reports, and ESG reporting has grown. But what has changed? What was that tipping point that now it's becoming more in the forefront?
Well, there's been a recognition that there's been a disconnect between the reports they put out on what they're doing on the sustainability front and the reports that they put out on how they are doing financially, their annual reports versus the sustainability reports. There is an effort to do what's called integrated reporting, to be able to connect the dots a little bit more directly between the so what of what they're doing on the environmental and social front and the way in which that is contributing to their financial success. So the integrated report effort is trying to help connect those dots, where it's a single report that includes all of the things that you would normally expect in an annual report. Plus, it also shows the way in which the financial health of the organization is enhanced by the way in which they are addressing environmental and social issues. It's a report, it's also a mindset, where you start to realize, oh yeah, so we did this, and actually that seemed to drive a little business, as our reputation for a company that cares about that issue seemed to pick up a little bit of momentum. So that kind of connection is helping this historic separation of all of this stuff You know, it was glorified philanthropy in a lot of cases before. And now it's not so much giving back to the community because you feel you owe the community something. This is something which is strategic philanthropy. It's a lot more than philanthropy. You're not just giving stuff away for the sake of it. You're making sure that the way in which you invest in non-governmental organizations is going to help them help you get to where you want to get to on some of the environmental and social issues that you care about, that your purpose says you care about, that your vision says you care about, your values say you care about. So you're trying to make sure that you are aligning all of those things in a much more intentional way.
You mentioned in your talk today about capturing new opportunities and mitigating new risks. What did you mean by that?
Well, in the 1990s and the 20th century, it was pretty well business as usual. Things were relatively stable. In the 21st century, it's much more volatile. The economic climate is much, much less predictable. There are things going on that businesses never had to worry about before, and now they do. The disruption of the social fabric of countries, we think somewhere else, but they're starting to impact us. And if you're a global company, some of these things that happen somewhere else could very well be in your supply chain. So the social instability of populations in various parts of the world, the environmental impacts of severe weather events, et cetera, associated with climate change, can really start to directly or indirectly impact an organization that is happily in a part of the world, like Ontario, that is not as susceptible to some of those severe weather events. So these are new risks. We didn't have these kinds of problems before climate change really started to kick in. And on the opportunity side, people didn't care as much about these things at a personal level as they seem to now. And that means that there are new opportunities for revenue if you can clean up your act to the point that you are more attractive as an organization that companies want to deal with. So there are some companies that I just won't do business with because I'm very aware of their track record on these things. If and when they clean up their act, that could be good, but right now, not so much. So you start to find that people are starting to prioritize those factors more than they used to.
Aside from being an author of a number of books, you've also advised a number of companies over the last couple of decades. Tell us about your recent book and the dashboard that's on the website.
Okay, so the dashboard's associated with the previous books, and it's a way to assess what's in it for an organization if it went all in on all of this stuff. So it's a very easy move the sliders kind of thing, and it's jazzy and colorful. My latest book is more at a project level, where the return on investment, the payback period, all that kind of stuff that financial people care about is calculated automatically as a byproduct of other things that people enter into the spreadsheet. It's just a glorified Excel workbook. And I think that it's high time that people like me that care about these things started to talk the language of the people who are making the decision so that they're more comfortable that this is not an exception. This is a normal kind of decision we're asking them to make, and it's backed up with normal kinds of justifications. And I think once we get better at talking their language and acknowledging their priorities, I think we'll be more effective at connecting with them and helping them see there's a better way.
And is this available to any company, any CEO?
Yeah, all of my, well, just about all of my stuff is free, and it's open source and downloadable as many times as you want. And it's open source for a very specific reason. I really think that many of the tools need to be tailored to a particular sector or a particular company, use their language. So that's why it is that way. And they're free because I'm very uneasy about the pace of change. And the last thing I want to do is get in the way of people being able to tap into these tools if they think they might be useful. So we need to pick up the pace. And a lot of the resources I'm trying to create for folks that care about this stuff are intended to make them more competent and confident as change agents.
If people want to contact you or find out more, How can they do that?
Well, they can go to my website. My website is sustainabilityadvantage.com. My contact information is there, and I'd welcome any contact.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. So far, business has been able to get away with calling those things externalities. They're someone else's problem, not their problem. They're legal, they're not doing anything illegal, it's okay. But what's starting to happen is these boomerangs are starting to impact business. So in the case of climate change, for example, it's not so much that businesses are impacting climate, it's that climate is impacting business. That's a different dynamic. And that's an attention-getting dynamic. So what's starting to happen is the impacts of the ness on business, as opposed to the other direction, are starting to wake up business to the fact that some of the things that it's been taking for granted maybe require some of their attention to at least adapt to the new realities. So if you take a look at how externalities have been viewed by business up until now, it's very much like this. But when these boomerangs happen, they kind of whack business leaders on the side of the head and say, okay, this does matter, and I need to pay attention to it. That's a very helpful dynamic for us who care about these things and have been trying for years to get the attention of business. And one of the ways in which business is sitting still long enough to listen to these things is because this is getting personal for business, and they need to be able to appropriately adjust to the new realities. So some of the dynamics that are taking place within the nests are causing companies to be more receptive to suggestions that perhaps they could improve their impacts on the nests. You with me on that? Okay, so let me go from that into a generic business case. When I call it a generic business case, these are the factors that a business takes into consideration anytime they are making a decision. Either explicitly or implicitly, they do. So in my 34 years in IBM Canada, and when we were making decisions, and when I had a fairly senior position there, these are the factors that we took into account when we made decisions. So it's a generic business case, and then I'm going to apply it to the sustainability world. And the factors that we normally think of course, do the right thing, live your values and your vision and your mission and so on, as well as capture opportunities and mitigate risks. And unfortunately, in many business schools, MBA schools especially, there's sort of an either-or mindset that is put around these things. So it's sort of an invisible picket fence that it causes you to express this as a trade-off between the two. And historically, that mindset has worked very well for business. But in the 21st century, those dynamics are changing. And what's happening now is that if a company fulfills its purpose, if it does its right thing and does really live its values, and the values are recast as being more appropriate for the situation that we are in with the nests, then it becomes a driver, not an either or. It's a both and. It becomes a driver for the kinds of things that they really want to be able to get, the carrots and avoid the sticks. So what we're talking about here is being able to capture new opportunities and avoid new risks if you're smart about how you fulfill your purpose. So the dynamics between these three elements have changed dramatically in the business world. And there are more and more companies which are starting to realize that dynamic has changed.
Lawson Hunter here, host and producer of Earth Matters. I wanted to thank all the listeners of Earth Matters for your continuing support. As always, please feel free to send us your comments, suggestions, and thoughts on topics and people we should look at for future programs. I'd also like to encourage you to like, rate, and share Earth Matters with others so that our work can reach a larger audience. Thanks for listening.